So there's this story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, where Jesus is in a synagogue, and the first real detail of the story is that this woman appears before him, whatever that means. Did she approach him to some degree? Did Jesus notice her from afar? Either way, he kind of summons her closer because he sees what everyone can see about her. She is hunched over. She has, Luke tells us, a spirit that is crippling her. And for the last 18 years of her life, however old she is, for the last 18 years, she has not been able to stand up straight, and not just because something happened to her body. There is something spiritually dark living inside of her. And Jesus just says a few words, "Woman, you're all better." And just like that, she stood up straight. Well, guess what day of the week this all happens on? You know Jesus, so you know the answer to that question. It's a Sabbath day, which means there's got to be a complainer. The synagogue leader stands up and says, "Everybody, there's 6 other days of the week this would have been perfectly appropriate, but don't come here to be healed on the Sabbath. That's not what the Sabbath is for." And Jesus speaks not only to this guy, but whoever his team is. Jesus says, "You hypocrites," which is a word for pretenders. He says, you will untie your cattle and let them go get a drink of water, won't you, on a Sabbath? Well, this woman has been untied, unbound from what Satan has done to her. Yes, this is a cosmic battle happening before their eyes. Well, of course, the whole crowd is astonished at the miracle, at the ensuing interactions. And there's so much about this story that is fascinating and life-giving, and I'm sure someday in the future I will preach that sermon going into all the meaning, all the worlds of meaning that this text, this short little 8-verse story contains. But what I'd rather do today is get into the story, which I mean in the most literal way possible. I want us to insert ourselves, every single one of us, into the story. And as best as possible, with the written word and the oral word, to actually see what's happening with our own eyes and hear what's happening with our own ears. And we'll read it a few times, with the hope that by placing ourselves in a different person's perspective each time, the story is just going to come more and more alive. And by the time we've done that, I hope that this story is becoming a part of us and is as life-giving to us as it is for most of the people inside the story. So I'm going to read this story 3 times, because it's not very long. And for this first time, we'll take a little, just a very brief pause in between each one. But for this first reading, what I want you to do is place yourself inside the perspective of the woman who experiences this miraculous healing. So Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailments." And when he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water?" And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. What have you seen and heard through her eyes and ears? Now let's get into the story again, this time into the shoes, into the perspective of the guy we don't like, the synagogue leader. See and hear the story from where he's standing. Just see what other parts of the story come to life for you. So Jesus was healing in one of the synagogues on the Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days, be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. So how did the story sound through those eyes and ears? Let's do it one more time. And this time let's get into the eyes and ears of the nameless crowd of onlookers, the people that have a reaction at the end of the story, but no dialogue, no action aside from that. Let's just be an observer in the crowd as we read this one more time. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by Jesus. What do you see? What do you hear? When I get into the perspective of this woman who is standing up straight, feeling so much healthier, so much more alive inside her own skin for the first time in almost 2 decades, I think it makes all the sense in the world that she is, at the moment at least, unable to articulate anything beyond "praise God." I bet her mind is so flooded with thoughts and feelings and emotions and reactions that "praise God" is just all she's capable of at the moment. Her brain is too jumbled with much else for now. In her perspective, I wonder, how long is it before I start planning all the physical activity? Think about this. If you could meet Jesus, and if Jesus could just touch you and in an instant heal your back, your knees, your hip, whatever it is, how soon before you start planning all the housework, all the yard work, all the people you're going to go visit, all the walking around you're going to do? What I can't quite decide when I get into her eyes and ears is, how much am I annoyed by this guy raining on my parade? Jesus just did something incredible, literally miraculous. And this guy, this preacher, has to stand up and make himself the center of attention? And just offer nothing to the situation except these negative words. How annoyed am I with him? Or, who cares? The most miraculous and wonderful thing just happened. Who cares what anyone else has to say about it? Maybe I don't care about that guy's negativity at all. When I get into his shoes, when I experience the story from his perspective, this synagogue leader, I have to be honest, I kind of get it. There are rules, there are traditions. We observe these things and they work out fine. And Jesus comes in and breaks one of our rules. The synagogue leader doesn't say, "Jesus, you can't do that." He says, "Jesus, you should have done it on one of the other 6 days of the week. Then it would be fine." I can kind of sympathize with this guy. think we all can, at least a little bit. We like procedure, we like rules, we like boundaries and knowing how things ought to work, right? But by the time Jesus has said what he said in this guy's shoes, I am feeling the word that Luke uses, I am feeling a little bit of shame. I'm asking myself, is what Jesus just did any worse than me just letting my donkey go get a little bit of water and then putting him back where he goes? I'm sensing all the eyeballs on me thinking, dude, just be quiet. And I am feeling a little bit of that shame. But we humans, sometimes we have this skill of stuffing the shame down with excuses for our behavior. And a little bit of shame I'm feeling is more than balanced out by the competition I feel with Jesus. As the synagogue leader, I believe in the goodness of the synagogue. I believe this is where God's people gather. I believe good things happen here. And Jesus just interrupted it. Jesus walks in here and gets all this attention in just a minute. And suddenly everything that is special about the synagogue is just forgotten all at once. Maybe that's how I'm feeling toward Jesus at the moment. And when I get into the perspective of the crowd of onlooking fellow worshipers, my first reaction is to be what the story says they are, to just be amazed, to see this woman that you and I know. She's been in our community for a long, long time, and we've seen her for these 18 years hunched over long enough that we probably can't remember what she looked like standing upright. But here she is. We're going to have to get used to seeing her like this now. And that's such good news. We are so happy for her. We are so thrilled for her. We are all lining up to give her a hug, aren't we? We're feeling pretty sure about something here in this moment that we just want to be close to Jesus. When you're close to Jesus, these amazing things happen. Wherever Jesus goes, healing follows. Newness of life follows him everywhere. So let's follow too. As a member of the crowd, I might also be starting to wonder, what even is the point of the synagogue compared to Jesus? Jesus heals people, and the synagogue just tells us what we're doing wrong. Should we even waste our time with this place? For years now, there has been an exodus of sorts away from the church. And I think this story gives us such a good glimpse into why that is, why people are finding more life outside the church than inside it. If the church could do what Jesus is doing here, be a place where healing occurs, where new life is discovered, these pews would be full. Whether in this building or some other church building, But too often, throughout the church's history, and in the last century, the church has been a place where you come to hear what you're doing wrong. You think that's ever true? So as an onlooker in this crowd, I am just falling so in love with Jesus right now. Because everywhere he goes, healing and new life are following him. So shouldn't you and I? Well, this is what I said at the beginning of our time this morning, that here is Jesus standing before us. And in John chapter 5, the question is, do you want to be made well? And let's really think about the consequences of answering yes to that. But here in Luke 13 as well, here's Jesus ready to touch and heal and renew. What do you need Jesus to heal? What newness do you need Jesus to touch and speak into your life? And if you are a Pharisee like me, let's not overthink and overanalyze the healing love of Jesus. Let's just receive it and share it. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are here before you right now to receive your love and hopefully to give it back and to give it to each other. We are thankful for how much you love us. We're thankful for your desire to take care of us and make us new. So please do that. Please make us new. This is our prayer in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. At this point in the sermon, I talk about Romans chapter 6 so much, but it's because it is so infinitely appropriate. When we were baptized, the old self was put away. It died in the waters of baptism. We were buried with Jesus when we were baptized, and then we were raised up out of that water to walk in newness of life. Not completely unlike what this woman in Luke 13 is going to be experiencing. A life lived with a new passion and a new kind of love for Jesus. That's what you were baptized into, church. And if you're here today and you have not yet been baptized, we would love it if you were. We would love it if you said yes in this moment to a lifelong commitment to following Jesus, to loving and being loved by Jesus. Come be baptized. And if there's any reason, this church can bless you and pray for you. Come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.